for those of you that are going to go, oh, here he goes talking about Trump again. Well, no, I'm not necessarily talking about Trump. I'm talking about his people, specifically Spicer and Conway, and the idea of alternative facts, because this is newsworthy, because this is what this show is about. If this was anyone in the White House saying these types of things, I would be reacting the same. So get over yourself and your partisanship and stop your belly aching. 888-574-2723. Kellyanne Conway on Meet the Press this weekend was talking with Chuck Todd, and a couple of things happened. One, when Todd was, really the problem is, this comes down to a stupid discussion. This is the most ridiculous of reasons to have this discussion, which makes it all the worse. Over the weekend, the numbers were disputed by the White House of who attended the inauguration. How many people attended? And to hear the administration say it, even the president himself, there was a million and a half people. And that is just not true. It is demonstrably false. When you can see the pictures from the peak moments of the speech, of the inauguration, of everything, it's just not the case. And that's okay. It is okay. But to come out and lie and defend those lies by calling them alternative facts is dangerous. I don't even know where to start. Let's start with Mr. Spicer, as he is making a statement regarding the press and the White House and their relationship and facts.
Photographs of the inaugural proceedings were intentionally framed in a way, in one particular tweet, to minimize the enormous support that had gathered on the National Mall. This was the first time in our nation's history that floor coverings have been used to protect the grass in the mall.
That's not true. That is an outright lie.
That had the effect of highlighting any areas where people were not standing, while in years past, the grass eliminated this visual.
For the record, I can tell the difference between grass and people standing. And like it or not, the visuals are there. It doesn't matter that you have these excuses. And this is a nonsense argument. Why does it have to be the biggest and the best? Why does it matter? But if we are going to accept the administration fighting this battle over this and lying about it, what else can we expect over something so trivial? Oh, but Spicer continues.
This was also the first time that fencing and magnetometers went as far back on the wall, preventing hundreds of thousands of people from being able to access the mall as quickly as they had in inaugurations past.
Everything opened up at 6 a.m. for the record. So by the time he started around noon, 6 hours, everybody's pretty much in.
Numbers involving crowd size were also tweeted. No one had numbers because the National Park Service, which controls the National Mall, does not put any out.
Correct. But for many years, they have been using aerial views and mathematics to determine the approximate number. And comparing the two, you can see that there are wide swaths of property open. But continue, Mr. Spicer.
By the way, this applies to any attempts to try to count the number of protesters today in the same fashion. We do know a few things, so let's go through the facts. We know that from the platform where the president was sworn in to 4th Street holds about 250,000 people. From 4th Street to the media tent is about another 220,000. And from the media tent to the Washington Monument, another 250,000 people. All of this space was full when the president took the oath of office.
Not true.
We know that 420,000 people used the D.C. Metro public transit yesterday.
Pretty sure those numbers aren't accurate either. We'll get to the Metro numbers in a minute.
Today, which actually compares to 317,000 that used it for President Obama.
No, that's wrong, too.
Obama's last inaugural. This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period, both in person and around the globe.
Danny, that's just a lie. And did you hear them laugh? Did you hear them laugh at him? Because this is a outright lie over something so incredibly trivial. But what it's called, gaslighting. Look it up. Be interested in how your administration is going to lie to you over something so silly. Let's go to Tom in West Hartford. Good morning, Tom. Tom, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Go right ahead.
You amaze me. I watched the coverage from top stem to stern, and I watched all of the photographs from both CNN, Fox, everybody else on the crowd. And here's what I saw. I don't know if you watched this, but I saw the white. I saw all of that, and that was in the beginning of the whole procedures. And as the time went by, people kept filling in and filling in until into the speech that Trump was making, I saw it again a couple of times. I have stop action on my TV. And the crowds went all the way back to the monument. Anybody who says that that wasn't true is delusional.
Well, Tom, I hate to break it to you. Tom, I hate to break it to you. I hate to break it to you, Tom, but you're absolutely wrong. You are factually incorrect because the pictures were taken from the peak of attendance. Tom, I'm telling you, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Tom, you are wrong. Are wrong. W-R-O-N-G. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
You didn't watch it.
Keep it up. Keep lapping it up with a spoon.
Let me ask you that question.
Tom, look, I have eyes. I can see the pictures.
Answer the question.
I can take the pictures. No, I didn't watch the whole thing.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, Tom, because there is no evidence. I couldn't go back and watch the live stream, and I couldn't see the peak evidence.
I watched it on CNN, too. And they
Tom, you are wrong, you are misled, and you are fooling yourself, and you are doing yourself a disservice. Good day, sir. Good day. Good day. Good day. The photos of Trump's were from the peak of attendance. It is okay for his to not be as attended. It's okay. Why the need to lie about it? From the administration? From people like you? Are you sucking up to him? He's going to do nothing for you. But why the need to lie? It is demonstrably false. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible to me. And I'm done. I spent last year trying to be nice, trying to be different than everyone else. But I am not going to accept it anymore. I am going, the people out there who like somebody who tells it like it is, well, guess what? You got them right here. And if it breaks your little heart to know that Donald Trump's crowds were meager in comparison to President Obama's, which is understandable. One, President Obama's election was kind of a big deal. Two, a lot of people don't like Donald Trump. I hate to break it to you, but look at the photos. Not even the photos comparing the same time, the peak crowds, but look at the photos of the parade afterwards. They are empty. There are empty stands. But continue to suck it up because you're just leading yourself down to being misinformed. And it's unbelievable to me that you accept the spokesman for the White House lying, outright lying. Know that if you are wrong about something, I will call you out at it about it. And if you want to call in and complain to the phone screener, be adult enough to make it all the way to me. Because, yes, I'm not going to accept it anymore. I'm just not. Because what troubles me is what's coming out of this White House. Now, they're estimating, I'm just looking at this estimation, 250,000 to 600,000 for Donald Trump. That is not a bad number. President Barack Obama in 2013, 1 million. In 2009, 1.8 million. W in 2005, 400,000. So Trump probably beat that. Probably beat him in 2001. Probably beat Bill Clinton in 97 when it was only 250,000. He had 800,000 in 93. And he probably beat H.W. Bush, who had 300,000. But no, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You are focusing on defending what is indefensible. Not only that the numbers pan out saying that, oh, guess what, that's not true. When you look at the Metro riders, President Obama's in 2009 was 1.1 million. Spicer said this was the largest audience to witness an inauguration, period. He talked about the floor coverings, highlighting empty spaces. Those were used in 2013. He claimed Metro ridership was higher, but he compared the numbers of the morning of Obama's inaugural against the whole day. And he suggested 720,000 attended the inauguration, which is fine. But Trump has estimated 1.5 million, and all of these would still be lower than the highest numbers for President Obama. And that's okay. 1.5 is less than 1.8. That's math, caller. That's math. You can't argue with math. So even though Sean Spicer says that this was the largest attended, blah, blah, it wasn't. But here is the troubling thing, and you are losing focus on this. I don't care how many people attended. It is the priority of the White House that troubles me. The priority to come out and make a statement, not just Spicer, but Kellyanne Conway and Trump himself. I have the audio, and we'll get to it. But first, let's go to Ron in Hartford. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Ed. What surprises me about Trump is that he didn't talk his believers into thinking that the people that went to Washington to protest over the weekend were there to see him, and they weren't allowed access to his inauguration.
Well, that's a good point, how he could spin that into his advantage. And don't worry, he had plenty to say when it came to the protesters, and I'll get to that in a bit. And he flip-flopped on his opinion of protesters. But let's continue with the information that is coming out. And there are many of you that are mad at the mainstream media and all this, and you buy into that narrative. So what are you left with? You are left with information coming directly from the White House. And that should trouble you, just based on what I played about Spicer. But let's listen to Kellyanne Conway when she was called out on the subject by Chuck Todd about Spicer's statements.
He did not answer the question, why did the president send out his press secretary, who's not just the spokesperson for Donald Trump, he also serves as the spokesperson for all of America at times. He speaks for all of the country at times. Why put him out there for the very first time in front of that podium to utter a provable falsehood? It's a small thing, but the first time he confronts the public, it's a falsehood?
Chuck, I mean, if we're going to keep referring to our press secretary in those types of terms, I think that we're going to have to rethink our relationship here. I want to have a great open relationship with our press.
Did you hear that? If you are going to criticize our press secretary, we're going to have to rethink our relationship with the media. That is not how this works. That is not how any of this works. Kellyanne Conway at one point saying that's not your job to be critical or call claims ridiculous. That is absolutely the job of the media. And what you blind supporters are moving towards, again, I don't care how many people attended. It doesn't matter. What matters is that they are fighting over this, that they are fighting against facts. The facts are less people attended it than both of President Obama's, which is fine. One of the smaller attendance on Obama's was on a Sunday as well. But here's the thing. Why fight it? Why not just get up there and say, thank you all for coming out? Obviously, if it comes up, why even bring it up? But if it comes up, why not say, obviously, President Obama's was a historic event, and, we are happy with who turned out and all our supporters and hope to make America great again. But they don't. They fight over these details that are just, it's a measuring contest. Whip it out. Let's measure. That's all he's doing. This isn't coming from Spicer. Spicer's a coward. Spicer is just doing what he is told. And if you aren't concerned with this, that is a problem, because Kellyanne Conway then goes on to say this.
Why did he do that? It undermines the credibility of the entire White House press office
Don't be so overly dramatic about it, Chuck. You're saying it's a falsehood, and they're giving Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts.
What?
That. But the point remains.
Wait a minute. Alternative facts? Alternative facts, four of the five facts he uttered. Zeke Miller, four of the five facts he uttered were just not true. Look, alternative facts are not facts. They're falsehoods.
Don't say falsehoods. They are lies. They are outright lies. And they are to get... This is pure propaganda. And there are those of you out there that are eating it up because it's you against them. No, it's not. It is not you against the media. The media couldn't care less about you as an individual. And you sit here and complain that the media is getting it wrong. They do this, they're biased, when you are accepting hook, line, and sinker lies delivered to you from the administration. And that is what's troubling. And what's more troubling is it's lies about nothing. This is something that didn't need to be addressed. Who cares? Instead, they dig in their heels and they continue to lie and offer up alternative facts, which are just lies. There are no alternatives to facts. Again, there are those of you out there who are going to complain, oh, here he goes again, going off on Trump. No, as I should, as you should, based on the way information is presented. Kellyanne Conway saying that Spicer offered up alternative facts. There are not alternative facts, okay? And here, I'll just... President Trump used the opportunity, speaking to the CIA, to, rather than focus on them, to highlight his war with the press, and yes, his inauguration attendance numbers.
As you know, I have a running war with the media.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
They are among the most dishonest human beings on earth.
This coming from a guy who has bankrupted cities and plenty of other people, and he calls the media dishonest. And I want you to hear the crowd.
What?
For the record, that is not the CIA. That is the traveling support group Trump brings with him places. Those were not the members of the CIA who were seated for this. Propaganda. And you're eating it up. It's as if you
and
didn't
they sort
learn
of
anything.
Made it sound like I had a feud with the intelligence community. And I just want to let you know, the reason you're number one stop, it is exactly the opposite. Exactly. And they understand that too.
Really? Donald Trump tweeting January 11, 2017. Intelligence agencies should have never allowed this fake news to leak into the public. One last shot at me. Are we living in Nazi Germany? Claiming that the intelligence agencies leaked it, which they say they didn't, saying they did it to take a shot at Donald Trump, and comparing it to living in Nazi Germany. But let's continue.
It looked like 1.5 million people.
Donald Trump, from his position, being able to count the number of people in the crowd. Let me explain to you. He's on a riser, yes. But the aerial shots are the ones that people are comparing. If you don't know how a horizon line works and how your line of sight works, I can't help you. Take a Art 101 class and they'll explain perspective and, horizons.
Whatever it was. But it went all the way back to the Washington Monument.
It didn't.
And I turn on, and by mistake, I get this network. And it showed an empty field. And it said, we drew 250,000 people. Now, that's not bad, but it's a lie. We had 250,000 people literally around, in the little ball.
The numbers have been adjusted to 300,000 to 600,000 for the record.
Constructed. That was 250,000 people. The rest of the, 20-block area all the way back to the Washington Monument was packed. So we caught them. And we caught them in a beauty, and I think they're going to pay a big price.
No, you didn't catch them in a beauty. What you're doing is throwing out conflicting information that anybody with their eyes can see is false, but there are those that will eat it up. Let's go to John in Windsor. Good morning, John. John, are you there?
Yes, sir. Ed, how you doing?
Doing well. Go right ahead.
Hey, now, I just want you to know this, from the start. I'm not a Trump supporter. And I didn't vote for Trump. Okay? So we can clear the air there. Your show, whenever you come back from a commercial, always starts with you being unbiased, unabashed. But I've only heard you be biased on one side. And the reason I say that is because you're, talking about this coverage with these members of people that were there at the inauguration, which you're right. It doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. But if you got some guy saying that he's seen it live, and you haven't, how can you sit there and say he's wrong?
Because, John, what you didn't hear is what I said, is that I didn't see it live. You can catch the stream anywhere. Plus, people took screen captures and put the comparisons up. And those screen captures are from the peak attendance. And if you put them side by side, it is evident that the numbers aren't the same. Okay? And then let's go through my problem here. My problem here is that, one, this is even an issue for the administration. Why does Donald Trump take the opportunity when he's speaking to the CIA to say he has a war with the press and to talk about the numbers? Why does he send out his press secretary to speak about the numbers? Why does Kellyanne Conway go out and speak about the numbers and offer up alternative facts? What is going on that they are putting out lies in order to combat what they feel makes them look bad?
Well, the thing is that you know Donald Trump, because he's been in that spotlight. Everybody knows the way he is, the way his attitudes are. For him, this is his normal process. I don't think he's going to laugh himself, because he's just a hothead. That's who he is. He's going to get himself impeached, and he's going to do it on his own. I think I have an issue with it. The guy's telling you, like I said, the guy's telling you he saw this live, and it's on video. He's saying it goes back as far as the George Washington Monument. And
because
he's saying
he's wrong.
I don't understand.
Because he's wrong. Like he's
watched the video. You watched the video yourself too?
Yes, I've seen the pictures. I've watched video.
I even went
to the live cam. When I was sitting there at Five Guys Burgers and Fries, enjoying my cheeseburger and fries and a cherry Coke, because I didn't want to watch this buffoon get inaugurated, I still checked in on the news. It's an obsession. That's why I sit in this chair. I would argue that what he saw and wanted to see are two different things. And looking at the evidence a few days removed, there is nothing that supports his claims, even though he watched it live, to say that they're even comparable.
All right, well, that's what I want to know, if you actually watch it.
And, John, let me add,
you and I both know photos are BS. I mean, there's photos that show Bigfoot.
Correct. But when there is time-stamped evidence that says this would be the peak time for attendance, and when everything outside of the administration says this is the way it is, all of these people can't be aligned against him. And let me talk about the tagline, first of all. You mentioned unbiased, unabashed. Unbiased comes in my reporting of the news. So when it comes to the numbers, I give you the numbers as they are, unbiased. I'm not making up the numbers. I gave you all the way back to Ronald Reagan's numbers. And that is the unbiased part. The unabashed part comes in where I am calling out people. And I call out both sides. It just so happens that for the last year, lame duck. So what could President Obama really do? I have my issues with him when it came to surveillance and when it came to whistleblowers, among other things. I'm critical of everyone. But when it comes to Donald Trump, what I am worried about is this propaganda. And my hope is, by pointing it out, even if it is just a few people of the, and I will use an alternative fact, of the millions of people that listen to me, if it's just a few people, if I can expose the danger that propaganda like this represents, then I have done my job. Because as a wiser man than me, Theodore Roosevelt said, to announce that there must be no criticism of the president, or that we are to stand by the president right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic, but it is morally treasonable to the American public. And when I see something wrong, I will call it out. And this is wrong.
No, I'm not, I'm not disagreeing with that, how you feel about that. And, I believe that our governmental system, with its checks and balances, will hold him accountable regardless.
I hope so.
I see himself getting impeached because just, his personality, which it's not something that's hidden. I mean, with Obama, before he was elected, not many people knew who he was. You didn't know what his attitudes were. But again, if the president does something that's illegal or, treason, like even if he colludes with Russia and tries to work out some kind of crazy deal that's not going to work in our favor, he's going to be responsible for that. And there's checks and balances for that.
I hope so, John. I hope so. My fear is that there are many people. I mean, he got elected, and there are many people who will willingly follow someone as long as their ideologies line up and they're willing to overlook certain things.
Exactly.
So I appreciate the call. Thank you for the call, John. Let's go to Gabriella in Windsor. Long time I haven't heard from you, Gabriella. Good morning.
Good morning, dear. You access, don't holler at the radio, holler at it. I don't gonna holler at you today, okay? But I just want you to let me say what I gotta say. I wonder, okay, how many, maybe $1 million, you have a heck of a godfather in WDRC. And I wonder how many million, maybe $1 million, George Soros gave WDRC and Connoisseur to have you working in there. Because, you know, to have you follow a decent gentleman like Brad Davis and
yes, ma'am.
And,
yes,
and
George Soros.
Listener, no, you got to listen. You say
no, Gabriella, you have to listen to me because what you were doing is you were accusing me of getting paid off. Gabriella. Gabriella. No, thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye, Gabriella. George Soros, I don't believe, as far as I know, has given a dime to this radio station. I'm sorry that you can't handle having someone who doesn't agree with you 100%. Okay? And you've called here. Gabriella, you've shown up at my workplace to complain about me. And how did that work out? Because you didn't like what I had to say. Well, guess what? This is America, and I was hired for this job, and I'll continue to do this job as long as I can. And when they fire me, they fire me. But guess what? George Soros isn't contributing anything to get me on the airwaves. Holy cow. This is the type of insanity I'm talking about. Dude, would I be driving, and no offense to them, because I love my car. Well, let's just say I'm driving an economy car. I'll just leave it at that. I won't name the brand because I love my car. But would I be driving it if I was getting millions from Soros? No, I would not. And the accusation that somehow I am a puppet backed by anything, if anybody's a puppet, it is our current president. And it is absurd to me that you can even make the insinuation. And maybe it's in jest, but I certainly wouldn't be living and worrying about the things that I do if George Soros was backing me. That's your go-to. No facts. It's just nonsense. And there is no defense for it. And I'm tired of it. And maybe this year you're going to get a new me. Maybe this year you're going to get the me that says, I'm going to tell it like it is. Isn't that what everybody wanted? Isn't that why Trump was elected? He tells it like it is. Well, I'm going to tell you like it is. And I'm honest about it. I'm upfront about it. And if you can't handle that, I don't know what to tell you, but the fact of the matter is, of what I'm talking about, is it is inconsequential how many people attended the inauguration. It is irresponsible and childish for the administration to send out a three-pronged attack. Trump in front of the CIA, wasting an opportunity to speak with the CIA to address it, sending out his press secretary and sending out Kellyanne Conway, who called them alternative facts, which is just another word for a lie. But for some reason, you think that's A-OK? That is the furthest thing from A-OK. You know, if I get the ratings book in and my ratings are garbage, I can't go, oh, well, no, that's not real. They're all against me. It's all collusion. I have millions of listeners. No, that's not the fact. Let's go to Jack in Hamden. Good morning, Jack. Jack, you there?
Hello there.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Yes. You know what you do for me?
What's that?
You make me think.
Oh, thank you.
I have to wrestle with, because you demand, you're very demanding. You demand.
Sound like my wife.
Like good thinking. You demand accurate thinking. I can't just call up and say, oh, I hate what you're saying. And I don't like you, and you have funny-looking shoes, and you know what I mean? How stupid, how off the wall, you know what I mean? See, I have to call up, and I have to actually say something intelligent. And,
well, that's what I hope for.
Yeah. I mean, some of these people call up, and they disagree with you, but, you know, I mean, it's just like you have to have something, you know, intelligent to say that. You can't just say, oh, I disagree, you know.
Well, unfortunately...
Anyway, you know what? And I think you make a lot of people especially like myself, conservatives, I mean, hardcore, dyed-in-the-wool conservatives like me, think. And I wanted to call up and I wanted to talk about America first. You know, Donald Trump said America first. And for that and a number of other things, he was referred to as a Nazi, and this is Nazi Germany, and this is this, and this is that. Even George Will referred to the inaugural address as a fascism, where we turn to fascism. George Will. I mean, he's an overrated pseudo-intellectual. He's written 100 books that were like Time and Newsweek articles extended to the, you know, ad absurdum. But, and so I'm saying, well, would they have preferred, would the liberals have preferred that that Donald Trump said China first or Mexico first or Cuba first? I mean, of course it's America first. In fact, we've been pursuing China first for, what, 30 years?
And I agree with you. I think America first is a great idea, and it needs to be done. But looking at it from a different perspective, realizing that what America first means is paying the people here living wages to do the jobs they do. We can't pay China wages in America to make America first. And what that will do is rise the cost of all these goods that we get. So if you enjoy going to Walmart and getting 10 boxes of mac and cheese for $2, that's going to change. And that's something that we as Americans, as individuals and as corporations, will have to deal with. I am not anti-America first, but at the same time, there is a cost that comes with it. Jack, I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you said I make you think, and that is the hope. I got to take a quick break. Coming back, we'll have Alex Lawson. We'll talk about the future of Social Security here on Ed Says on the Talk of Connecticut. Let's go to John in Willington. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Ed. Are we on live?
Yes, we are, so don't swear.
No problem. It was good to see Gabriella, hear her on the radio. I had a couple chuckles driving home. So it was good to hear her. But my point is, you know, everybody's worried about how many people showed up at the inauguration. I wish Trump would put down his iPhone or whatever phone he uses and starts to tackle the real problems of the world.
You are echoing what I'm saying entirely. This is the problem. The focus, three opportunities, Spicer, Kellyanne Conway, and Trump talking to the CIA in front of a wall that represented those that had died doing their job. And he chose to focus on his war with the media and yep. The attendance of his inauguration. And not only that troubles me first, but then lie about it. That's what troubles me second. And the idea of alternative facts, there are none. And that is what troubles me.
And lastly, Ed, you know, we heard the news over the weekend or last week that the Barnum Bailey circus finally is ending.
Yes.
After 146 years. Well, that's because Trump and his company, that circus is starting now.
Well, thank you for the call, John. Let's go to Alex Lawson. He's Executive Director of Social Security Works, joining us now to talk about the future of Social Security. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So here's the thing. I am a firm believer that the AARP crowd is going to get what they are owed because they move, they vote, they have support. And those of us who aren't there yet, who haven't registered, who are younger, are going to fund it and then never see a dime of what we put in because there are so many of them and so few of us. Is my Social Security going to exist?
Yes.
Oh,
it
well, thank
is going
you.
To exist. It's going to exist a lot because of the fact that older folks, who I call always voters, you know why? It's in the name. Because they always vote. And that's why Social Security is seen as the third rail. So they're actually protecting not only their own benefits, but the benefits of you and me, their children, their grandchildren. Social Security is not facing a demographic crunch. Those are real. Japan faces one. Germany faces one. But America does not, because the millennial generation is larger than the baby boom generation. The Gen X generation will be larger than the baby boom generation in 2022. So the system is sound. The greatest danger to Social Security in reality is coming from Washington, D.C. It's coming from politicians who want to reach their hands into the American people's pockets and steal our money by cutting our benefits. So if you're still paying in and I'm still paying in, but they cut your benefits or my benefits, that's stealing our money. And that's the actual biggest danger to Social Security right now.
And where does, so the plans of, say, Paul Ryan, where does that fall in this?
Yeah, so a really interesting dynamic to look at is the fact that President Trump was really clear during his campaign that he was not going to cut Social Security or Medicare benefits. Now, Leader Ryan, Majority Leader Ryan, and Representative Sam Johnson, Speaker of the House Ryan and Representative Sam Johnson, have proposed massive cuts to Social Security and Medicare just right off the bat, literally the first thing they did. So Sam Johnson's bill is far worse than if we were to do nothing at all. If we were to do nothing at all to Social Security, we'd be in a better situation than if we were to pass Sam Johnson's bill, which cuts your benefits, my benefits, current retirees' benefits. It cuts everybody's benefits. So there's this dynamic going on that we're I'm really interested in, and I think people should focus on it. Whose agenda is going to move forward? You know, who is it? Is it the House Republicans or is it President Trump? And it's unclear. The only thing that, you know, if I were I'm looking at it, Paul Ryan is a creature of Washington, D.C. He knows how this town works and how to get his agenda moved, where President Trump is new here and I'm not sure that Social Security and Medicare are actually at the top of his priorities the way they are with Paul Ryan and Sam Johnson.
And when it comes to changes in Social Security, say it does stay untouched, I can assume that the age of retirement for me and maybe the millennials is going to increase as life expectancy increases.
I mean, currently, the retirement age is going up to 67. So for you and for me and for folks younger than me, it is already going up to 67. The thing about that is just a benefit cut. It's a 7% benefit cut across the board based on the way that benefits are calculated. So, you know, there's a lot of proposals that come out of Washington, D.C. that might make sense for somebody in Washington, D.C. They sit behind a desk. You know, they got great government health care programs, great pensions. Maybe they can work till they're 94 because it's a sweet gig if you can get it. But there's millions of working Americans around this country who just cannot work that much longer and are not interested in working until we die. And so raising the retirement age is one of these ones that, you know, if politicians were being honest, they would just say, I want to cut your benefits, but they know that that would get them voted out of office. So they come up with all these different scenarios to make it seem like they're not cutting benefits, but in fact, they are. And that's what raising the retirement age, that's what the so-called chain CPI is. There's all these policies that are nothing more than benefit cuts dressed up in D.C. doublespeak.
If any of these people should have their benefits cut, it should be our elected officials. They should be living the way the common man does, not get these pensions, not get these health care for life plans and have to do it the way we do. Is it smarter for individuals now to diversify? You can't survive on Social Security, am I right?
If a person has the ability and opportunity to do so, obviously you need to have savings, you need to make, you know, you need to invest if you can in a variety of ways, diversified portfolio. But the truth is, for millions of Americans, that opportunity is just not there because, you know, we're talking about low-wage jobs. All these manufacturing jobs have fled to China, been offshored because the companies get incentives to do that. And working Americans are faced with lower-wage jobs, no pensions. And in too many cases, staggering levels of student debt. So it's not like they're forgetting to save. It's just that there's not the money there to save. If a person can, obviously need to build on top of the foundation of Social Security with savings. And if D.C. wants to get in involved in the retirement game, that's where they should, separate and apart.
Executive Director of Social Security Works, Alex Lawson. I'm sorry, I'm up against a break. Thank you for your time, Mr. Lawson.
Thanks so much for having me.